Welcome to the Cleansing Word Podcast with Pastor Kevin of Calvary Chapel, Lake Villa. Join us as we go through the Bible as we encourage your walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel, Lake Villa, visit us at cclv.org and please share and subscribe to this podcast. Now, let's hear a message from God's Word.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so, throughout the book, and especially this chapter, love is part of the theme, is a main part of the theme that is here. And as we will get into it later, but there can be tough love, right? Jesus said that John the Baptist, Jonah, they said repent. They didn't use, you know, they didn't say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. They said repent. They said repent, you know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We have to have discernment, and we'll get into this more later. Jesus used that approach, and he was very harsh with the religious leaders, especially. Used harsh words with them in regards to confronting them about their religiosity compared to their relationship with God, that they hung on to their self-righteousness and not the righteousness that comes from God. He was very harsh with them and used very harsh words with them. And so we contrast that to the woman in adultery, who, when she was brought before the Lord, she took the focus off of her, and the focus became on him, and he used that to deflect, you know, the shame and the guilt from her. And in the end, when everybody had cleared out, because no one could throw that stone, because they were all guilty, as we all are guilty, he says to her, "Where are your accusers?" And she basically says, "There are none." And he says to her, you know, that neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. You know, he used a softer approach with the lady who was caught in the adultery. And so discernment. In verses 1 through 6 of 1 John chapter 4, there's discernment in a lot of things. And the kind of the example that I just used was discernment in how we approach others in presenting the gospel, in presenting Jesus to them. It's all done in love. Because even if we're using a tougher approach, it all needs to be done through love. But there's discernment also in, and as we'll see here, in testing the spirits, in life in general. We need the discernment of God in our life to be able to navigate this world. In verses 1 through 6 in 1 John, it tells us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So this discernment of the spirit. So we need God in us. We need the Holy Spirit, God in us, to be able to have that discernment between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He starts off with saying, don't believe every spirit. Test them, whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets. And many have gone out into this world saying that many, he was saying that many had gone out from them, from the believers. Many had gone out and had twisted God's word and used it for their own benefit. And we see that even today. When we are listening to teachers, to preachers, we need to anyone talking to somebody, we need to have that discernment, because some people can talk a really good talk. They can use a lot of good words. They can use a lot of biblical words and yet be false. And so we need to have that discernment in our life. Malachi 3:16 through 18 tells us, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So the book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I make them my jewels, and I'll spare them. And as a man spares his own son who serves him, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So in this passage from Malachi, he talks about meditating on the word, that those who feared the Lord and spoke to one another, the Lord listened to them. So the book of remembrance was written before them, him, for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. See, we need to be in communication with the Lord through prayer, through his word. We need to have that connection, that flow of communication between us and God, so that we have that discernment in our life, that we can have, we have the scriptures, we have the truth of God, and we can use it to judge and to discern between right and wrong, between, as the we read in verse 6 of chapter 4 in 1 John, that we would know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, that we could separate those two and live in the truth of God and his word. Philippians 1:8 through 11 tells us, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without fence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so we have this spiritual maturity that we need to continue to grow in through and in and by Jesus Christ and through his word, that we are practicing our faith, that we are in God's word, that we are praying, that we are listening to the Lord, you know, in Malachi, that we need to meditate on his name. In Philippians, he tells us that love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. So that indicates a growth, that we need to grow in our knowledge and in discernment of things in this life. And we do that through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit in us, through God's Word and our practice of and applying the principles of God, the principles of His Word into our life. And what does that do in verse 11 of Philippians chapter 1? It says, being filled with the fruits of the Spirit, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So being filled with the fruits of righteousness, that as we are in Christ, we grow in our spiritual maturity. We grow in our knowledge and discernment so that we can discern between and test the spirits and know the spirit of truth and differentiate between the spirit of error. And verse 4 in chapter 4 tells us, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we have God in us so that he works through us and works in us, that we would be more like him, that we would have that discernment in us, to practice that discernment in our life, whether we're with little things or with great things or anything in between, that we would go to God and ask him to help us discern the things of this world, the things that are of him and the things that are not, and then keeping those things that are of him and disposing of those that are not. Verses 7 through 11, God is love. And this is where I took the theme for the whole of the series on 1 John, but also for this chapter, God is Love, as the title. And verse 7 tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So God's love for us is just so amazing. He loved us to the point that he became one of us, lived that perfect life, died in our place, that substitutionary death for us. As we talked about that word propitiation, and in here it says propitiation for our sin. Jesus was that substitution for our sins. He died in our place, took our consequence, that we could have forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. No greater love than that. In John 3:16 through 21, it tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. It does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So we see this contrast again between light and darkness, between those who believe and those who reject Jesus. In verse 17, it says, "For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that we might be saved." We're condemned already if we reject him. It's our choice whether to live in that condemnation or to live free in the light of Christ, to have that forgiveness of sin, to have eternal life. That security only comes from Christ. Those who are apart from Christ, all they would have to do is repent, as we talked about. Repentance is simply turning from your sin and turning to God. Because if we don't turn, we're likely to go back to our old ways. And in repentance, it's a replacement of our old ways with a new life in Christ. In verse 21 of John 3, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." And so we have this love of God. God is love. Jesus is that love who came in the flesh to die for us, to die for our sins. And we talked about it at the beginning, that there can be this discernment between how we approach someone, that we can approach them in maybe what we would call tough love, or we can approach them in more compassion. The Lord approaches each of us in our own way. He meets us where we are at. And we too can learn to do that through that discernment through the Holy Spirit, that we can discern on how to approach another. In Jude 1, 20-23 tells us, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So what's the first thing? Pray. Let us pray. Let us, you know, seek God. Have the Holy Spirit talk to us, lead us, direct us, teach us. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So practicing our faith, building our faith, being in God's word, praying, being in fellowship, you know, learning God's word, applying it to our lives. That through that, verse 22 in Jude, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." So there's that contrast of approaches. And some have that compassion, then make a distinction, but others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We need to listen to the Lord and have his love in us through it all. no matter what approach we use to try and gain another for Christ, whether it's through that compassion or literally pulling them from the fire, that it's all in Christ and it's all in love. Because we want others to know Christ. We want them to know that, yes, there is sin, and we need to express that. It is all about the love of God, but because of the love of God, He loved us so that we could be saved from sin. Sin is real, and it has real consequences. And we know in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, eternal separation. It's death. The consequence of the original sin in the garden was death here on this earth, physical death. And spiritual death. For the wages of sin is death. Not only that physical death, but the spiritual death of eternal separation from God, who loved you so much that Jesus came, died for you, went through that awful death of the cross, because He knew that was the only way that we as humans could be rectified to the Father, that we could be reconciled to God. And it was His gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 3:21 through 26 tells us, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. So again, we've gone over this. Our self-righteousness is no good, but the righteousness of God is everything. It is how we are made right with God. The righteousness of God makes us right with Him. Even with the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all are on the same plane. We all come before God in the same situation, sinners. But the difference is whoever believes in the Lord shall be saved. And those who have not, who have rejected God, will be separated from Him. That's tough to think about. Because we know people in our lives who are in that situation, who are separated from God. And we know the destination, and we know the consequence of that. But we need to have our hope in Christ. And we need to know that there's not anyone who is too far gone in this life, that they have until they pass from this life, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can hope in Christ. We can pray. We can give them over to the Lord. We can minister to them. We can give them God's word. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God, right? But God, in verse 24, tells us, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. And why? To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Justification, just as if we're never sinned. What a concept. To know that. That's how God looks at us through his Son as we believe on him. God, in his forbearance, his long suffering, his patience with us, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, demonstrating his righteousness as the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So we've talked a little bit about this, but you know, what do we do with God's love? Well, it's hard to keep it to ourselves. As we're filled with God's love, we need to express God's love outwardly. In verses 12 through 16, it talks about loving one another. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God is for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we have this great love of God, and we know that he has loved us so much because of Jesus Christ. And so we have that love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, often read at weddings, speaks of this love, that as God has loved us, we should love. And he gives us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And so we can use this section of scripture and kind of do a self-awareness test of, you know, how are we? Are we patient? Are we kind? Are we growing in our faith? You know, it talks about maturity here. That spiritual maturity we touched on earlier. This again talks about it. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But we put away those childish things. And we grow up, we mature into men and women of God. You know, are we behaving rudely? Are we seeking our own? Are we provoking? Are we thinking evil? Are we rejoicing in iniquity? No, we need to rejoice in the truth. We need to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, and know that love never fails. In the last section here, in verses 17 through 21, I'm casting out fear. In verse 17, it tells us, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And so, this is a great scripture to hang on to. They say that there's 365 do not fears in the Bible. I didn't count them. But, you know, I mean, the idea that there's a do not fear in the Bible for each day of the year. But there are many. And we need to hold on to that, that we don't have to fear because we have the Lord. We have God. We have the love of God in us. Love has been perfected among us in this, so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so we are in the world. You know, we are to put on Christ. God sees us perfected in Christ. In this world, we're a work in progress. When we go to be with him, we're going to be perfect as he is perfect, because of what he has done. And the Lord sees us in that finished state. And he tells us in 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So it's that we love God in a response to his overwhelming love that he has given us. That agape love, the Greek word for the love of God, the agape love, that all-consuming love that comes from God, it will cast out fear in our life. In 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7, it tells us, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you to laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Paul's telling Timothy, go for it. God has given you a gift. Use it for Him. You have God, the Eternal One. We don't have to fear. If God gives us a gift, if He gives us a task, if He gives us a challenge, we have to trust in Him that He will complete it. We don't have to have that spirit of fear. We can have that power of love and sound mind. Romans 8:15 tells us, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. It does a father good. It does a parent good. When your kids come to you and they need you, or they want to run something by you, they want advice, they want help, you know, that's a good feeling. And I enjoy that when my kids do that, come to me. How much more does God do that for us when we cry out, Abba, Father? Knowing that we have received the spirit of adoption, not a spirit of fear. In Romans 8:35-39, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I was persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We don't have to fear. We can live in and through the power of God. At the end here, again, he mentions about the hating your brother. And we talked about that last time out of Matthew 5. Jesus kind of expands on the commandment of murder, including hate in there. And we know he's talking about here through this all is the love of God, and what is our action through it? Our action is to love one another, to go in the power of God and in and through His Spirit to minister to others, to love on the brethren, on our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to go to this world and give them the gospel, on some having compassion and on others pulling from the fire. And this commandment we have from Him, verse 21, that he who loves God must love his brother also. May we go forth in His power, loving one another and loving those who are outside the faith, that they too may come and know the great love of God, the forgiveness of sin, and eternal life through the only way. And that way is Jesus. He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And in that, nothing can separate us from the love of God who is in Jesus Christ our Lord. As the worship team comes, let's go to prayer. Father God, I just thank you for your love. What power and comfort and completeness comes through your love, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reside in us who believe, that you would help us discern our life, live out this life. Teach us, O Lord, your ways. Help us to walk in your ways, to approach this life fully in and through you. May we have that discernment between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And Lord, help us to minister to one another, to minister to those we meet in this life, giving them you, Lord. Help us to just give Jesus away, Lord. Give your love to others, Lord. Whether it be, as Jude tells us, through compassion or through the tough love, even pulling them from the fire, Lord. Lord, may they see their need for repentance and turn from their sins and turn to you, Lord, declaring you as their Savior, their God, their justifier, their righteousness. Lord, may we go forth in boldness because you have given us that spirit, the spirit of boldness and truth and love. We thank you for your love in all of its aspects. Lord, we love you. And I pray that you would just engage us with your love, that we can love one another and go forth and be the ministers of the gospel that you desire us to be. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.